We do have one prayer request this morning. Let's pray for Miranda Lloyd and family. One kiddo is fighting flu. One is fighting RSV.
Okay.
There's a lot of sickness going around.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, it's been running rampant. Miranda Lloyd. All right. Father, we lift the household of Miranda Lloyd to you, Lord. These kids, God. Father, I thank you that it is your heart that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul would prosper. God, I thank you that you designed us, Father, to be healthy and whole and well. It's your design. We claim that over this household, over these lives. Father, your word declared that it would be by the stripes of Jesus that we would be made whole, we would be made well, that we would be healed. We declare that and decree that over these kids, over this house, today in Jesus' name. Be it to them according to your word. Father, however you want to do it, whatever your will is in this situation, we just release that over them. We thank you, Father, that you have heard what we have lifted to you, God. I thank you that the full weight of your glory and kingdom is moving in the situation in Jesus' name.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
The Refuge Church is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship is at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525. A company that cares.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Jason William. His title is The Relational Kingdom.
The Relational Kingdom, yeah.
Before we get back in, would you like to share about your church?
Community Connection Fellowship. We're at 1424 South Simpson. We only have Sunday evening services. We're a church kind of for churches, and so we spend our Sunday mornings helping some other ministries do some things. It's an awesome thing. We're a church for the church. I mean, when I say that, we're for the church. The whole church, and Elk City is our mission field right now. So that's where we belong. It's where God's called us. We believe in one church in this town. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Come hang out with us sometime. You'll enjoy it. All right, we're talking about the relational kingdom. We've kind of been talking about religion versus relationships, principles versus the principle being God. Anything that we value, right? Anything that we begin to value above Him, that can even be a principle. I'm just telling you, you got to be real about that. Don't overlook it. But anything that we value above Him becomes a God to us. It can become an idol. It can get in the way of what it is He's trying to do. And like we talked about early on, it's how do you think the divisions and schisms of denomination began to happen? And I'm not browbeating any denomination that we have. The love of God is everywhere and in every church, and great people everywhere in every church. I'm no way. The people of the body of Christ are God's prized possession. I don't care where we go to church. I'm not talking down on your church. I'm including my church in that. I'm just saying we just need to be careful about the way we think about others. That's mm-hmm. that's my point. That's my point. Not browbeating on any of them, but we just need to be careful. So we've been talking about that. We began to talk about the principles outside of relationship and how they can hurt. I've always loved that analogy with Peter and the sword. Relationship versus religion. Religion, I'd like to cuss so it would just come across stronger. I'm not going to do that. Religion makes me dadgum sick to my stomach. It does. I cannot take it. It really, really infuriates me. Relationship, oh, beautiful. Relationship is a gentle thing. It's a loving thing, you know. There's a reason why Paul said that love never fails. It never quits. It never runs out. It never gives up. It's always there. It's steadfast. If you want to see the character and nature of God, you want to learn how to filter this word, even when you're unsure. When you feel like you can't hear the Father's voice, you want to learn how to filter this, you go read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. That is who God is. It is who He is, to a T, who He is. So, we talked about religion versus relationship, relational equity. It's a thing that takes time, patience, and love. We talked about these principles versus relationship. I want to talk about as it is in heaven, because this is the relationship that God wants for us. Now, I would submit to you that as it is in heaven is kind of what we had going on in the garden. Kind of what we had going on. It was this perfect union of God and His children. Children enjoying, loving, worshiping, basking in the weight of the Father's glory, appreciative, thankful, enjoying His blessing as it is in heaven. This is the relationship of the kingdom. In fact, Jesus, he said in Matthew 6:33, seek first. The only thing He said to seek first was the kingdom. The kingdom is the king. The concept of the word basileia, the Greek word for kingdom, It literally in its definition, it cannot exist outside the presence of a king. They are inseparable. To seek the kingdom is to seek the king. It is to seek this thing, this relationship with Him. It is the, as it is in heaven, on earth. It is the exchange. It is the interdependency of the two. As it is in heaven. I know we only got 20 minutes here, but I'm going to slide over here. Throw me a marker. I'm going to slide over here and just, we're going to take a look in Revelation 4. Take us a little sneak peek at what it might look like as it is in heaven. What it might look like. All right, I'm going to start Revelation 4:1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Okay, so now we're getting this picture of heaven, and there's a central theme that now pops up on this vision of heaven. There's a throne. It's the central theme, the first thing that is seen, and the one who sat on it. Okay? You getting a picture of heaven yet? There's a central theme of the one sitting on a throne, that which means it is the one who rules His domain. He is the king. He is the king. All right. So he's the one who sat on the throne. Verse 3. And he who sat there was like jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Whew. I mean, it's looking kind of spectacular. It's something that is very beautiful to behold, something that is heart-taking, breathtaking, something that would make your heart go, something very beautiful. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting. This speaks of the full weight of the government of God. It's the 12 tribes of Israel. It's the old and the new. It's those who were and those who became, all one. It's the people of God. It's the rule and government of God and His people that's being displayed. It's the representation of the 12 apostles, the representation of the 12 tribes of Israel. It is a double portion of the government of His rule, His way. It's our lives being trained to reign with Him, sitting around the throne. And then it says, and I saw the 24 elders sitting, clothed with white robes, and they had crowns and gold on their heads. There's this spectacular display of the glory of God taking place in this picture. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, and the third like a human, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, this is going on 24-7, 7 days a week, even though there ain't no time in eternity in the kingdom. It's going on nonstop. It will never stop. Just like it was in the tabernacle of David, the Davidic worship. They're crying, saying day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Later on, the picture is a similar picture later on, and it says that there are those who are before the throne involved in this. Worthy is the Lamb to receive all glory, honor. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. It could not be counted. This is going on in heaven. There is a central theme in heaven. The first thing that John saw when he walked into the realm of heaven was what? Throne. The throne. The throne. You think that that might be the one thing that it all revolves around is Him. He didn't say, and I saw a book filled with principles. He didn't say, and I heard a preacher preaching principles. He said, I saw a throne. And around that throne, the entire environment of heaven was worshiping. Nothing else was going on but that. And it never stopped, never quit. It's all that was going on. It is our relational equity in Him. It is, do you own God or does He have you? Are you living according to a set of principles, or are you a living sacrifice? Does God exist to answer for you to hold Him hostage to what this book says? Or do you exist as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him? Because that's what's going on in heaven, is that picture. Let me tell you this, as it is in heaven, Jesus said to pray that way, so be it on the earth. So be it on me, here, me now, in this city, on this continent, on this planet, as it is in heaven. I'll tell you what, I think, it might just be my opinion, I believe it's actually biblical, but this is what I think about it. Everything revolves around Him. There ain't no one nagging at the throne. There ain't no one standing before the throne of God saying, hey, Lord, your word says, and I want you to get up out of that throne and do it. You go fix that because that's what your principle says. That's what your principle says. That, to me, is the equivalent of Jesus telling Peter to carry a sword and Peter refusing the mission that God had him on, refusing it and taking the principle that Jesus had given him and hurting someone with it. It's the same principle. It should revolve around him. Jesus said, the words that I speak are not my words. They're the Father's. He said, I don't do anything that I don't see him do. I don't say anything I don't hear him say. He refused to operate outside of abiding in the Father. I and him and he and me. Then he prayed that same thing over us. But in that picture in heaven, there's no one nagging God, holding him hostage, and declaring and decreeing that this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to solve my problem. That's not relational. That's a one-sided narcissistic view of relationship. Me, 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 me. Do it my way. Do it in my time. I'm not saying that it's wrong to petition the Lord for those things in your life. Please don't misunderstand me. But we've got to get ourselves to a place where we have readjusted our focus on, Lord, whatever it is you want to do, God, I'm seeking your heart. Show me how to pray, Lord. Show me how to pray over the situation. Show me how to, God, I need you. I need you. When he becomes that one thing, that central focus, the rest of it begins to happen. How do we know? Jesus said, seek first that, and everything else will fall into place. You won't have to worry about none of the other stuff. But I know this, there was no nagging, no demands on God. There was just worship and thankfulness. That's all there is going on in heaven. If you want to pray as it is in heaven, that's what you better expect. Because in the midst of the praise of God, he is enthroned on the praises of his people. When you begin to come at him from a position of thankfulness, I'm going to give you a huge deal here to see. When you begin to come at him from a position of thankfulness and praise, the word declares that God is enthroned on the praises of his people. When you begin to praise him, be thankful and grateful to him in the situation, even though it looks dire. God, I don't know what you're up to, but I know that you're good. I know that you're working in the middle of it. And I know that the outcome is amazing. And Lord, I'm with you. I agree that the outcome is mine, that there is life. I just agree with you on it. When we begin to take that instead of, Lord, this is a situation I got. Now, Jesus said this one little thing one time, that your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. You don't think, if you come to him nagging about he knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. He knows that you have need of it before you even ask him. Seek first the kingdom, and the other stuff will come. Come at him from a position of thankfulness. I'm going to give you this little story about these friends of Jesus, right? Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Yeah. I don't have time to get into the whole deal. Such a beautiful picture, though. I want to focus on the part where Lazarus died. They sent word. Jesus was gone, and they sent word to him. That Lazarus was sick. Jesus makes this statement. You know, they're thinking, hey, you know, we probably need to get there. Huh? Martha even later makes a statement that, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But so Jesus makes this statement that, it's in his plans. What's going on with Lazarus? It's in his plans. We're okay. It's all right. We don't need to go yet. We'll stay here and minister. Martha is faunching at the bit. Why isn't he coming? You know, they're watching, they're looking, they're waiting. Why isn't he coming? Why isn't he coming? Lazarus dies. Well, there was kind of traditionally in the Jewish belief system back in that day, there was this thing that the spirit lingers close to the body for 3 days. So now she might be comforted thinking, okay, we still have time. If he can get here, we still have time. We still have time if he can get here. And still, day 3 comes, he's not there. So it's just kind of over. They give up. Then all of a sudden they hear that he's come. They hear that he's come. And they come running. They go to the tomb. Of course, Martha has to get her a little too. If you'd have been here, this would have never happened. Jesus is like, okay, wow. Do you see us in that? The Lord, I'm telling you, if you'll do this, it'll fix it. And he's like, you can't operate in the principles outside of the authority of the king. If you do, you're operating in a kingdom with no king. The kingdom, the basileia of God, cannot exist outside of his authority. It just can't. You're going to cut an ear off. So Jesus, he's like, okay, Martha, yeah. The stone, Jesus commands the stone be rolled away. The stone rolled away. Now, all of these times we've seen Jesus do this incredible thing where we didn't really ever see him pray per se. We seen him pray on the mountain, go down into the cities, and things happen. That's how it always happened. But this time, he stands at the situation and prays. And it says that the prayer was for the benefit of those who were standing there. Not for him, but for those. Now, you got to imagine, he had just come back to the place where he had just had a huge argument with a bunch of people who accused him of being of Satan. And those are the ones who are standing there listening to what's going on. He said this prayer for the benefit of those. And so Jesus, he lifts up his eyes and his arms to heaven. You know, Martha's thinking, here it comes. Here comes this powerhouse prayer that we're going to see Lazarus resurrected from. And Jesus begins this prayer and he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer and that you always hear my prayer. Because of our intimate relationship, I thank you. He didn't intercede for Lazarus. He didn't pray over Mary or Martha or the family. He didn't pray for those presents to receive anything. He stood in his intimate place with the Father before man and gave thanks. We have no idea what his prayer was before he got there. We have no idea what his prayers were when he went out to the mountain to be with the Father intimately. All we know is that every time he did, when he returned to mankind, to the presence of people, he began to heal, to set people free, to liberate, to raise the dead, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. He gave away the kingdom every time he had been in that place with the Father. And so he stands there in a position of thankfulness. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. We'll give you another example. Peter did the same thing. There was a lady named Tabitha who had died. Peter showed up. He didn't pray some big prayer demanding that God do something. It says that he knelt and prayed. I would submit to you that he did what he saw his master do, that he took a position of thankfulness and of worship before the Lord in this situation. And he arose knowing the will of God, and he said, Tabitha, arise. Yeah. We've got to get in relationship with the principal, the boss, the king, the one. We got to have that thing going on. Got to have that thing going on. I may have taken too long to get through all that. It's okay, though. It's all right. We're good. We're good. So the question in that, as it is, do we have God or does he have us? Are we nagging him to death, trying to hold him hostage, or are we just walking in a position of thankfulness as it is in heaven, a lifestyle of worship, of living sacrifice, and allowing him to be and do what it is that he wants to be and do through our lives. Intimacy with God. This Proverbs 3:5-6. Just read through it real quick. Trust in the Lord. We all know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Real quickly, trust in the Lord. Now, you're going to hear me say this, and I don't want you, again, to misunderstand, because I hold this word in the highest regard, the highest regard. Trust in the Lord first, not just the principle. Trust Him to guide you in the principle. Trust, this is Him speaking to you, but trust Him. Lord, I need to hear what it is that you want to say. I want to hear what your heart is in this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. There was this time when they had Jesus and the disciples had been on a boat or getting on a boat, and Jesus was telling, he was just visiting with them. He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and beware of the leaven of Herod." And so it says they started talking with each other. And he said, did he say this because we didn't bring enough food in the boat? And it says Jesus turned to them, knowing what they said. And he said, "Why do you reason in your heart? Why are you using your own intellect to try to decipher what I'm saying? We are in danger when we do it." Jesus was saying, beware of the leaven of religion, the influence of religion. The very thing that you're doing will lead you to what I just warned you about. But he goes on, he says, okay, let's pretend that it's about food. And then he says, do you not remember feeding the 5,000? How could it be about the food, guys? And he goes on and explains to them. But he said this one thing. Why do you reason? Why are you reasoning with your own mind? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own reasoning ability. Not with this word, not with anything. Don't do it. You're in danger of the leaven. You're in danger of the influence of the other voice. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're at risk. Putting yourself at risk. So then he goes on. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, that's New King James. I like the real translation. the word there is actually, in all your ways, know him. Know him. That word in the Hebrew is yada, is what the word is. Now, I'm going to tell you, that word is the same word that you would read in Genesis when the word says that Adam knew Eve and she bore a son. It is a picture of intimacy, our intimacy with the Father that will always bear fruit. It is the promise of His Word to go forth, to multiply, to be fruitful and multiply. When we are intimate with Him, it always bear fruit. Now let me get it's recorded in the New Testament in John 15, abide in me, and I in you. And you'll bear much fruit. That's that yada. That's that intimacy. I know Dennis Jernigan, he always used to say the intimacy, he liked it like to think of it like this. Into me, see. Into you, I see. Into me, you see. Intimacy is an interdependent. It is an interdependent relationship. What does that mean? Both parties are involved. It means this. It's a thing where both parties mutually influence each other's heart in relationship. You say, wait a minute. God is not interdependent. I don't influence. Yes, you do. God will never reach over the church to do what He has given the church to do. He is dependent on you. He is dependent on me. We are to be dependent upon Him. It is an interdependent thing to be intimate with somebody. And it bears fruit, always bears fruit. There's no intimacy without intention. There's no intimacy without intention. You're the vine. I'm the branch. I and the Father are one. He prayed that our hearts become one. I think it says to know Him in all your ways, in all your thoughts, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your financial decisions, in your health choices, in decisions that are in front of you, in your occupation, and whatever it is, know Him in all your ways. Don't trust your own reasoning. Know Him in all your ways. Be intimate be acquainted with him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. The word really is this, that your path will be straight. You ain't going to be going all over the place. It's going to be prosperous and straight in the way that you go. Psalm 37 is kind of a sister to what this proverb, but in that psalm it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Let me just tell you this. What do you think that your desire would be if you delight yourself in the Lord? Your desire would become whatever your delight is. Whatever you delight in is your desire. That when we invest our lives relationally with the Lord, he can then trust us with the things that we ask for. It's not about the blessing. It's not about the answers. It's about the us and him. What can he trust you with? He can only trust you with enough that you don't quit trusting in him. What is that? He can only give you so much before you start distrusting him. For everybody, that level's different. But in relationship, we begin to trust him and him alone. Not the provision. Not the healing. Not the answer to our demanding prayers. Him and him alone. I'm going to leave it with this. I know we've went a little over here. Not going to get through all of this. This last one's really important. But Jesus did this really cool thing. The most important thing that he did in his time on earth was his crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection. We talked about them going toward that point and getting the ear cut off and all that. But remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prayed? In the middle of the very reason he was sent, the ultimate reason he was sent, his cry to the Father was, God, if there's any way that we can get around this, let's figure it out. If there's any way. But then he followed it up with this, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We have to begin to take that approach in our conversation with the Father. Mm-hmm. You've got to begin to look at our relationship and the things that are in front of us and know, Father, you're good. Mm-hmm. I thank you that you've heard my heart, that you know my position, you know where I'm at, you know what I'm facing. Your word says that you know what I have need of. And I thank you that your word says that you're good and that you cause all things to work together for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And we just relinquish the outcome to him, knowing that it will be good and perfect. That is what the desire of your heart looks like when you have made him your delight. Your delight. All right, I'm gonna finish this one last point and we'll close it out. In the Old Testament, they had the word, the law, the word, as a covenant of relationship with God. It's what set them apart. It's what made them the people of God. It was an external set. It was this external thing that they had. It was the law, but it was an external set of God's recorded words. That's what they had. It pointed out that they were the people of God on the planet. It's what set them apart. In the new covenant, we have the word. Only this time, it's a little different. It is the one who fulfilled the law. It's the word that fulfilled itself. So what? Yeah. It is our covenant of relationship with him. And it's no longer external, it's internal. Let me give you this, and we're gonna get out of this deal. But I'm gonna explain that. In the old covenant, they had the word, and that was their relationship with God. It was an external thing that they could never do, they could never keep, couldn't happen, could never be done by man. In the new covenant, we have the word as a relationship with him. You say, well, that just sounds stupid. That's the same thing twice. I want to give you this beautiful picture. John chapter 1 says this. We've already said it once. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, And the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. That Word that they had as an external thing became flesh and fulfilled what was written within it for you and for I, because we couldn't do it. It was that Word that they held that became life. It was Jesus. It was the Word incarnate, the Logos, the living Word. It fulfilled its own truth for you and for I, because we could not. God said, I send my Word forth and it will not return to me void. He wasn't just talking about our heart condition. Jesus said, your traditions make the Word of no effect. Wasn't what God was talking about. He was talking about this Word that he would send into mankind to fulfill its own truth for us, because we could not do it. Then the Word ascended back to the Father, and Jesus said, I will send it back to you. He said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. I will send it back to you, and he will bring you, the Spirit will bring you the words of life. He will transfer to you the inheritance, the me, the Christ in you, the hope of glory, the living Word becoming flesh again in the body of Christ on the planet. We've got a better deal than what they had. He was outside of them. He lives inside of us. The living Word is now in you and me to carry this out. We ought to want to have a relationship with that Word above all else, the living, breathing God of the universe, who is the living Word. Father, I thank you for the living Word this morning. I thank you that you have designed this to be about relationship. Lord, you know that our heart is that this book that you have given us, we hold it in the highest regards, Lord. It is Jesus in print. It is your life, Father, in print. It is your character and your nature. It is the book that you have given us, a love letter, God. It's the roadmap of the kingdom. Thank you so much for the Word. God, my prayer is that we recognize and hear your voice in your heart every time we open that book. Lord, we want to depend on you in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, to illuminate the Spirit of God, to illuminate this Word, to bring to life this relationship that you have so generously poured out on us, God. Let your glory fill us, the vessels of the kingdom. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good Word. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come join us.
Well, hopefully I can get back. It's been crazy.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and from Pastor Jason Wilhelm, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app, where you'll find The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.